The English is, why do you cry out to me? Why do you cry out to me? That's what it says over here in the English, and that's the way we always translate it. But it's not what the Targum Ungalus says. Targum Ungalus says, I have already accepted your prayer. That's not the translation. This is a gross violation of the role and mission of the Targum. Targum is here to give us a translation. Ma titzakelai. Ma means, why are you crying out to me? Targum completely ignores those words, and he says, "V'amashem l'Moshe kabelis tziloisach." I have accepted your prayers, but Moshe did not even pray. It's not the answer over here. Is the statement, the translation is the opposite. It's a very misleading or misconstrued translation. Okay, we have to see. Let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, "About what is it? The Yisoh, the Yitlun." Is that the right word for travel? I guess it is. The yitlun is to travel. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Ma titzakilai limdanu shohayim Moshe oimedu mispala." So maybe we can say that the Targum over here, really here, there's no machlokes. Okay, even though we relish on making machlokes between the Targum and Rashi, here it appears that the Rashi is very soft, and in fact, Rashi is now coming to explain the mysterious translation. Okay, Rashi is explaining this mysterious translation. Kabelis tziloisach, I have accepted your prayer. What? What are you talking about? Rashi over here is coming to say the Targum in this case is correct. Rashi over here says, Ma titzak elai, limidonu, we have learned. Shehoye Moshe oimedu mispala, Klal Yisrael was praying. Omar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo eis ato leharich betfil. Now is not the time to be ma'arich in tefillah. She Yisrael nisunin betzara. The Jewish people are in a state. Okay, they are in a state of pain. Okay, they're in a state of pain, and therefore she Yisrael to betzara. Period. Davar achem atitzak elai, alai hadavar talui, veloy olecha, and not upon you. Okay, so Rashi here says two shocking things, which in essence completely disagrees with the Targum. He agrees with the Targum that there's something missing in the pasuk. There is an element of the pasuk that does not say. It does not tell us anywhere explicitly that they davened. Okay, that they davened. Where does it say anywhere that they davened? I know you'll say Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Okay, now what is this? Go back all the way back over here, all the way when they were chasing after them. Okay, Vayes Hashem Avikon Hashem Mivachav Hashem Chazek. Okay, Baal Tzafoyin Parikriv Vayiru Meoid Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Pasuk test over here, and what it's over here in the Ungalus, and they Uziiku Zoka, and Rashi says Vayitzaku. Tafsu umonas avoisa, they prayed. Okay, so this is very, very interesting. Whoever says the word vayitzaku means to pray. The word vayitzaku can possibly mean that they just complained. They just gave out an expression of frustration. It does not mean that they asked Hashem for something. Prayer usually has a connotation that you want something. You want something very specific. I have a request. This is my request. There are times when we don't make requests, we just come and we vent. We vent, we let out steam. There are many, many words in Tanakh to refer to prayer. There's the word vayispilel, vayispalel, that's really the same word. Then we have words like techina, voeschanan el Hashem. We have by Avraham Avinu, it says el hamokam asher omad sham, and there we know as a fact that he asked Hashem to spare, he made a request to spare Sodom from being destroyed. And I'm not all that fluent in all different terms, but more often than not, when we have a term of prayer, the prayer means that I have a very specific request to make of Hashem. But then we get the impression that many times when it says an expression that we call prayer, it doesn't really mean prayer. What it means is a moment of venting, of letting out frustration, or of complaining, or of nastiness. And they said to Moshe, "Hanibli in kevadim b'mitzrayim lekachtanu lo mus b'midbar." What's the purpose of saying that? Well, they're asking Moshe to go back. They're making a request. They don't want to go back. They're blaming. They're just venting. They're blaming Moshe. What did you do to us? It's just a therapeutic approach to deal with frustration, but it's not going to accomplish anything. It's going to accomplish something that you'll let out your steam, you'll let out your anger. I know this past Shabbat had a ma'isa. I didn't know what in the world was going on. I have a friend, and there was a very big machlokes this past Shabbos. And this is brewing already for a year or 2 years. I know that it's brewing. There's something brewing. And I go there on Shabbos. I see him. A whole long story. And he just vented for 45 minutes. I had to sit there. That's how I was standing, actually. And he was just giving off steam, letting it all come out. And like, there's nothing you can do. Some of the things he said are totally, totally rational, illogical. And when you're in a fight, when you're in a state of frustration, that's what happens. You just let it all come out. You say crazy things. And you can't argue with these people. You can't argue with them. There's nothing to argue. Just listen. Be a good listener. So you get the impression many times with Klal Yisrael, when they cry to Hashem, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem mincho avoida, they have a request? No, they don't have a request. They just want to vent. Okay, so it would appear that may be a machlokes in Rashi and Unkelis back in Pasuk Tes. Because here it says, power came near, and they lifted up their eyes. They saw Hashem was coming. They were afraid. And then what did they do? Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem. How do you translate those words? Were they venting frustration, or were they actually making a request? Targum on this Pasuk says, what does it say over here in the Targum on this Pasuk? This Pasuk just says, one word says, Uzi'iku. What does that word mean? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think it means pray. I think it means more to vent. That's my impression. Rashi clearly disagrees with Unkelis. Clearly. Rashi says, Vayitzaku tofesu umonus avoisam. By Avram it says, Elamak Moshe Omachem. What did Avram do in that location? He prayed to Hashem to spare the city of Sidon. When it says, Vayitzak losuach basodeh. What does it mean, the Lasuch? What did he do? What did he do in that Makom? He was mispala for a shidduch, for a wife. He went to pray that Eliezer should have siyata deshmaya in finding him a zivug hagun. It says Bayak Vayifka Makom. What happened over there? He was mispalel that Hashem should save him from Esav. What did he say? He said to Hashem, "If you're going to guard me, b'shafti b'shalom el beis avi." He was making conditions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's clear as day when Rashi over here says the word Vayitzaku, Rashi said that Klal Yisrael here were making requests. They had a list of things that they wanted. They wanted to be spared from the Egyptians. They wanted to find safety and security. They wanted Parnassah. They wanted things. And Rashi proves this. Rashi makes it come. And the Targum doesn't seem to go in that direction. The Targum is more powerful. And he doesn't use words. There are other words in Aramaic which usually are more common for making a request. Now, what about Moshe? Was Moshe also davening? It says by Yitzaku, it says the Vnei Yisrael. Is Moshe included in the Vnei Yisrael? And this itself can possibly be an explosive topic. When it says in the Torah 1,000 times, Vnei Yisrael Yotze'im Biyod Ramah, does the term, here's the question, the big debate. Let me ask Meir, let's see, pick Meir's brain. The words B'nai Yisrael, does that include Moshe Rabbeinu? Or is Moshe Oila Al Gabeihem? The term B'nai Yisrael does not include Moshe Rabbeinu. B'nai Yisrael includes Klal Yisrael, but there is someone in Klal Yisrael that is above and beyond, and he's not included in this term called the B'nai Yisrael. So I believe this is an explosive topic. So it says nowhere here If you want to say that B'nai Yisrael means only the Jewish people and does not mean Moshe Rabbeinu, if you would make such a bold statement, it doesn't say anywhere that Moshe, again, there are two variables. There are two variables. Variable number one is, when it says with Vayitz'aku, does it mean they were actually praying to Hashem, or they were just complaining to Hashem and letting out steam? That's dilemma number one. Dilemma number two is, was Moshe Rabbeinu also engaged in this activity of tzaka? And let's play it like this. Let's say you'll say that the word Vayitz'aku does mean, if it means they just were venting, then there was no prayer whatsoever. It doesn't make any mention whatsoever that Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to Hashem. If you want to say the word Vayitz'aku means that they actually were praying for real, it means they weren't just complaining, they were actually being mispalled to Hashem. And now we have question number two. Well, what about Moshe? Doesn't necessarily say. Because Moshe is not necessarily included in the term B'nai Yisrael. Now with that Hakdama, we go, and this, and it appears it's Machlokes. With that Hakdama, we go back to our Pasuk. And our Pasuk, it says, Ma Titzak Elai, what are you crying out to me? Okay, what are you crying out to me? Ma Titzak Elai, Dabel B'nai Yisrael V'yiso. So let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, Limdanu. Here we learn, Shoyo Moshe, Oyvedu Mespalo. What do you mean, Limdanu? We know that Moshe was praying. If you're going to go tell me in the back of Pasuk Yod, Vayitzaku means Tefillah, and Moshe Rabbeinu is Nichlal in the Tefillah of B'nai Yisrael. So then, Moshe was, of course, we know that Moshe was being mispalel to Hashem. It says, Vayitzaku B'nai Yisrael. If you're going to tell me that Yitzaku means tefillah, and Moshe is nichlal in the B'nai Yisrael, so of course Moshe was davening. I don't need, this is not a limdanu. What's the limdanu? Again, it's the same as titzak, tzaakah. Ma titzak, it's the same word, Vayitzaku. This is the word. You can't play games here. Because it says, Ma titzak Eloi. So what is Rashi saying here? What's going on here with Rashi? What is Rashi over here saying? Limdanu shay Moshe omir umispalel. So you have to understand that Rashi is lishitosoi, because Rashi learned back in Pasuk Yud, the word Vayitzaku is tofsu umonus avoisam. Rashi is lishitosoi. Rashi says the word tzaka means prayer. I make a request, just like it says by Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, here they were making requests. Here also there's a request being made. So, okay, so there it means tefillah, here it is. So then Moshe was included. Rashi seems to imply that Moshe is not included in the term B'nai Yisrael. Because if he was included in the term B'nai Yisrael, how can Rashi dare say limdanu? That this pasuk, Ma Titzak Elai, is coming to teach us, Shay Moshe Omenu Mespal, excuse me, it says back in Pasuk Yud, Vayitzaku V'nei Yisrael El Hashem. It said Moshe is included in B'nai Yisrael. Ella what? There, Moshe is not included in B'nai Yisrael. And who even says the word Vayitzaku over there means tefillah? I mean, the assumption is it does, because it's the same word. But not necessarily coming under the context. Rashi is making a very bold statement over here. The word Vayitzaku over here means that Moshe Rabbeinu, for the very first time, is now asking us, making requests. And, fine. Now, that is what Rashi opens up. The Targum does exactly the same thing. The Targum says, Vashem l'Moshe, kabe list siloisach. I have accepted your prayer. Now, by saying that, kabe list siloisach, let's get this point first, is that means, according to the Targum, the Targum didn't say, or did not imply, Lamadnu, Shemosh Rabbeinu, Oymeru Mispalo. If the Targum already over here is going and is corrupting the translation with a new translation, doesn't even say in the Pasuk, why didn't he also indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu, look at that, for the very first time, ladies and gentlemen, for the very first time, Moshe Rabbeinu is being Mispalo. Doesn't do that. Why doesn't it do that? Because according to the Targum, we know that Moshe was a Mispala. Back in Pasuk Yud, it says, Uvnei Yisrael, Vayitzaku, Bnei Yisrael, El Hashem. So first thing, it would appear, I'm making things up now, obviously, but I'm trying to read between the lines. Is there's a machlokes between Rashi and Unkelis? Did we already know? Was there already an indication and mentioned explicitly in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was being mispalo? Unkelis doesn't go down that path. From Unkelis, you get the impression, of course, Moshe was mispalo. It says in Pasuk Yud, "Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem." If Moshe was included, he was the leader. Of course, he was being mispalo. Rashi shockingly says, "No. Don't bring me a raya from Pasuk Yud, because Pasuk Yud maybe the word tzaka means it means something else. It means even though it's the same word, it means to vent, and even if it means to pray, who says Moshe was praying? The B'nai Yisrael, that's not Moshe. Therefore, the fact that it says Matitzak Eli, it's introducing for the very first time a new principle, a new revelation, a new fact that we would never know, that now, for the very first time, Moshe Rabbeinu begins to pray to Hashem, we're in a lot of trouble, we need your help, help us. And, you know, that's very interesting, because did we ever find until now, all this time, Moshe Rabbeinu, and I think this is a very important point to dwell on. Hashem comes to Moshe, and Hashem, Moshe, I'm recruiting you for the mission. If Moshe is the leader of the mission, he has free conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no prayer. Moshe doesn't need to pray to Hashem. You pray to Hashem when things aren't going your way. Hashem is taking Moshe by the hand and telling him, you do this now, and now you do this, and now you do this, and now you do that. And when Moshe complained, Moshe never prayed, he complained. When it happened that Moshe goes to Paro, and Paro says, I see you have a lot of free time on your hands. So you know what? I'm not going to give you the straw, and you collect the straw yourself. So Moshe, he doesn't pray to Hashem. Hashem, you know, we need some help here. Moshe complains. That's not a prayer. Hashem, I'm your spokesman. I'm your spokesman. And like, you know, I find in the media amazing. There are certain people who speak for the president. And I just can't believe, like they just continue to lie and lie. Don't they say, like, Stark, all in his name. It's amazing how they get, how people can do this. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to pray to Hashem. He's Hashem's right-hand man. Rashi over here is saying something very profound. He's saying over here that just because you are an extension of Hashem, you're Hashem's right-hand man, and whatever Hashem, every single step of the way, okay, now we do this, now we do this. Moshe doesn't need to feel that he is in danger, that he needs to say, Hashem, help me, I'm in danger. Here, for the very first time, Rashi is telling us a tremendous chiddush. Limdanu, shehoya Moshe, oimeru mispala. Moshe feels threatened as an individual, as a leader, even though he's Hashem's right-hand man, and he needs to go to Hashem and beg Hashem, Hashem, please help me. What do you mean? That's not part of the job. The job was, you're my right-hand man. You'll never need to pray to me. You're part of my team. You're on the team. You don't need to pray to me. You're an extension of me. No. Moshe, although he is our representative, he is still a citizen. And he is still subject to the cruelties, to the problems that every single individual in this and that he represents faces. And he also needs to pray for mercy. Just because he's the Av HaNevim and he represents Hashem, it doesn't matter one bit. Limdanu, these words of Rashi are so powerful. They're so amazing of what a leader is. Because you go study other religions. I don't know other religions, but I would imagine other religions, the leader doesn't need to pray. Why would the leader need to pray? He's the God. You pray to him. He takes all of your money. He tells you what to do. He doesn't have any problems. It's the simple people, they have the problems. The little people, they have the problems. The people who are the leaders, they are...
Rabbi. It could be like this the first time that Moshe realized his responsibility for the actions he was performing.
Exactly. Limdanu. So Rashi is saying, amazing statement. Limdanu, we learn from here that Moshe also has to pray for survival himself. Okay, so that's the first. Unkelus doesn't give you that impression at all. Okay, now we go to the next thing. The next thing here is a major home run, out of the ballpark, home run for us to make a machlekes between Rashi and Unkelus. This is gold. This is Bavish gold over here, because according to Unkelus, Unkelus says, you daven to me, I've accepted your prayer. Congratulations. You daven the beautiful Shemon Esrei. Took a very long time. In shul, in yeshivas, I always like to tell you the numbers. How long do they let you say a silent Shemon Esrei? This the golden, the gold standard. The gold standard in Judaism across the world is 7 minutes for the silent Shemon Esrei. Exactly 7 minutes. That's what they do in the Syria. I don't want to say labels. It's not nice to say different words, different things. But then you go to like a more quicker minyan. They cut it down to 6. And then you go to a quicker minyan, they'll cut it down to 5. And if you go to a really quick minyan, I don't know how you can do less than 5. They'll give you, I don't know how they do that, less than 5. But like the gold standard, it really takes 7 minutes. That's what it really takes. You say every word for real, everyone knows what I'm talking about. It takes 7 minutes. It's not very common to have a minyan that's 7 minutes. Most shuls, I think today, are like 6 or 5.5. If you clock it, you'll see it's either 5 or 6. 6 already is long. Okay, in the yeshiva world, the yeshivas, they give 7. Okay, unless you have a really, some place they wait for the rav. A lot of places they wait for the rav, wait for the rosh yeshiva. So that's a different story. That's a whole different way. But if they have like a set clock of how long they, the average time. I'm getting sidetracked. Moshe Rabbeinu, he davened a nice long Shemona Esrei. Took him 7 minutes. And Hashem said when the davening was over, Moshe, you did a very good job. You concentrated on every single word with feeling and emotion. You know what? I accept your prayer. Let's go. Let's get the show on the road. It's showtime. And the movie, the Exodus, is about to begin. And the Egyptians, they're toast. That's according to what it says in Unkelus. Rashi thoroughly disagrees. Thoroughly, he rejects Unkelus b'shtei yodayim, two hands. Rashi says, in his first interpretation, he says, Moshe, now is not the time to daven. There's a time in life for everything. Now, loy eis atol leharich betfila. In life, there's a time for everything. Okay? And now is not the time to pray. Loy eis atol harich betfila. So you show them the sin of tzara. They're in the sin of tzara. Okay, fine, but it's the same idea. I want to say that the point over here is, it's true, it says be marich, but the point really is the same. It's not a time to daven. Hashem is telling him, don't daven now. According to Unkelus is not dwelling. Maybe Moshe had a very long tefillah. And Hashem says to Moshe, excellent, I accept your prayer. Rashi says, Hashem is telling Moshe, listen, I don't want you to daven now. Don't be marich. Okay, you have to daven a little bit. Okay, you're saying an idea, but not time. She yishol b'sun b'tzar, dover acher, ma titzak elai. It's the same thing. See, maybe Ezra, you're saying an idea. The second interpretation is, don't daven altogether. You want to make a nuance of difference between the first parish of Rashi and the second parish of Rashi? According to the second parish is, olai hadover toli v'loy olech. I don't want you to daven at all. Zero. Nothing, no prayer service whatsoever. It's my decision. Do I want to go and save you for my own honor? Laman Shimcha Hashem. Do I want to save you for my honor, for your honor? Olai hadavatol v'alecha k'mo shem v'lahalon al bonai v'al pol yodai titzavuni. It's for me. So, but what is the common denominator of the first parish of Rashi and the second parish of Rashi? It's Hashem is telling Moshe, now is not the time. Now is not the time. Let's get the show on the road. According to the Unkelus, it's not true. Unkelus says there's no rejection, Moshe daven. Now is the time to daven. And you should be aware that I have accepted your prayer. So we have here a major machloikis between Rashi and Unkelis as to Hashem's reaction to the prayer. But there's an agreement between, well, not necessarily an agreement, maybe there's another machloikis with Rashi and Unkelis regarding was Moshe Rabbeinu, is this pasuk coming to reveal to us for the very first time that Moshe is praying? Limadetanu, limdanu, shahayim Moshe Rabbeinu mispala. Now, this new information. We never had this before. Really? We never had this before? Doesn't it say in Pasuk Yud that Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael? So Rashi here seems to say, no, don't confuse me with the facts. Pasuk Yud is this b'nei Yisrael. Doesn't say Moshe. Moshe is not nichlal b'nei Yisrael. Who says here in that context the word Vayitzaku means the same thing that it means over here, that it means that he davened. Maybe they were just venting their frustration. Unkelis doesn't give you that doesn't have that connotation. Unkelis just says simply, Unkelis just says again, Kabilis Tzloisach, doesn't address it altogether. Okay, now we go to the last part. Daba Meshal Yisro, Ein Lachem El Elisa, the only thing the Jewish would need to do is to travel, She'ein Hayam Omei Bifnehem, the Yam, this is a very strange expression. This is a very strange she'ein hayom oimed. It's not going to stand bifnehem. What does that mean exactly? Kedayu zuchus avosehem veho emuna sheminu v'yotzu. The faith they had in me, and they left Egypt on their own. Likroya lohem hayom, to split the yam. Now, if you notice the steer in words. Because first it says over here that the yam is not she'ein hayam oimei, the yam does not stand before them. What does that mean? It doesn't stand. And then it says, I'm going to split the yam, lohem hayam. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? You know, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. Let's not dwell upon that. And what's the zchus? The merit is the zchus avos and the Amunah, their Amunah. In other words, Rashi is saying that you need a combination. You need one alone does not appear to be enough. You need to have combination. Two things have to come together in order for this to work. You have to have Zuchus Avos, and you have to have your own Amunah. Your own Amunah without Zuchus Avos, Rashi seems to say, may not be sufficient. You need that double combination. All right, let's go further. Then we go to the next pasuk. There's a lot of very beautiful things in this pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin. V'yaton, you Moshe, Horei Mesmatcha, I want you to lift up your mat and your staff. U'netei Es Yotcha, and I want you to stretch out. Do you remember we once had a whole discussion, u'netei Es Yotcha, what does it mean to lift up, to lift down? Which direction? U'netei Es Yotcha, lift up your mat, Uniteyas Yotcha, and stretch out your hand, Al Hayam, on the Yam, Uve Ko'ehu. Now, by the way, this is something we always like to discuss. One interesting thing is, nowhere in the entire Torah does it say the term Kriyas Yamsuf. That is a term, for some reason, we have invented. The term comes from Rashi, in the previous pasuk. I really should go and go back to the previous pasuk. It's very possible the very first time that Rashi ever says that word is Likroya Lohem Hayom. Yes, show me where it says the word Kiriyas Yamsuf in the Torah. In the Torah it's called Bikias Yamsuf. Bikia Vayiboku Horem U Vekoehu. It's a completely different word. The word kriya is, the word kriya, it has a connotation of anger. When you're in a state of anger, you rip up something. Bikia is with precision. You very carefully split. You have the word by you have the word by Avram. Avram it says, "Vayivoka atzei oilo." Vayivoka. He split the wood. He takes logs of wood and he chops it up into little pieces. You're very precise. The size of the wood you need to make a bonfire has to be very, very precise. Okay, so that's an important point to mention. And the word uvikoe or the word kui are very different words. They have very different connotations. And yet, for some reason, they are interchanged. The Torah does not use the word kui. They only use the word bikiya. And the Chazal only use the word kuiya. And that needs to be understood. But right now, Horus, lifts up your mat. Let me tell you that those over here, they really a stira. If I would tell you a pshat like this, tell me if you could prove me wrong. Moshe has two hands, right? If you ask the average guy, how did Moshe split the yam? So let's go to the movie. Let's watch. What is the movie called? Anyone know what the movie is called? What is it called? Called Moses?
Ten Commandments.
Okay, Ten Commandments. So I don't remember seeing Ten Commandments. Maybe when I was a little kid. Maybe like, who knows how long ago I saw Ten Commandments. I don't remember. But I'm willing to bet the Ten Commandments, when Moshe splits the yam, he puts it, he has the stick in his hand, he has a mat in his hands, and the guy lifts up this hand, and in his hand is a mat. The mat is in his hand. Is that really what happened? If you read the pasuk at face value, it almost sounds like that. With one hand, you lift up the mata, and with the other hand, you stretch out your hand towards the yam. After all, you have two hands. Why not make use of both of them? One hand, unite, horeim, lift up es matach, lift up the mata. And then it says, unite es yadcha. Unite means to extend. So if you're extending, you're not lifting. It's an entirely different direction. Lifting is vertical, and nitiya is horizontal, or even worse. Nitiya can also be you refuse to going down, to bending down towards the opposite direction. So what is it? Is it lifting, or is it a vertical motion, or is it a horizontal motion? Who's not to say that with one hand he did the horemes matacha, and with the other hand, he did Riteyas Yadacha. Al Hayam Uvikoeu. Vyavov Neishol Besochayam in the Yom Bayabasha. Okay, let's see here. It says over here in there is no, believe it or not, shocking, there's no Rashi. Okay, there is no Rashi over here. What did I do over here? I pressed the wrong button over here by mistake. I got all messed up over here. Okay, Rashi, there is no Rashi here. And now we go back over here to the Targum. Got lost somehow over here. Targum, it says, V'at now, Tol Yos Chutroch. Tol means lift up, I guess. No, not really. What does Tol mean? Wow, look at this. This is amazing. I didn't realize what's going on over here. We really hit upon something big. If you would be translating these words, wouldn't you say, look, it says over here, Pasuk Tezayin, Horeim es matach. What is the translation of the word horeim? Va'areim. When it says the word unitei es yotcha, nitei means to extend. So,
lift and extend.
What?
Lift and extend.
But it says here, if we translate the words on our own, Riata and you, Moshe, Horeim es matach, how would you translate that? The English does it for us. The English says it. Lift. Lift up your rod. Next, Horeim es matach. And then when it says, Unitei es matach, the English says, and hold out your arm. Hold. So look what the Targum did. He interchanged the words. He completely mixed up the words. He took the word tol, which means to hold, and he put that for the mate. And he took the word areim, which means to lift, and he put that for the yudoch. The Targum over here has done something amazing. He's switched the words around. How do you do that? How do you switch the words around? That's not what it says in the pasuk. And then it says, al yamo uvi zo ohi. Now, I don't know Aramaic, so I'm assuming that word means split it. V'alun. Now, the word v'alun is not the right word. That's not the word v'yavohu. It means they shall ascend. They shall go up. B'nei Yisrael. B'goy yama. Into the yam. B'yabeshta. It's not v'alun. They should... It's fine. Okay. Rabbi said, Mazel Tov.
Thank you,
Mashiach. Yitzhak Hashem, Shatoy Maslachas. Making a Simchion Shabbos, they had a great grandchild. They had a bris, Shalom Zacher, Vachnacht, and everything. I love it. We love it, the cat. And then the Tzoy Shabbos in the Shul, they had the Malava Malka, the Shul of Malka. So it's going to be where I'm sitting right now. Can't even imagine how much garbage it's
going to
be here.
I saw the back, but I thought you were in your kitchen.
No, I'm in the shul. I'm in a Rishon shul. They have here in the back of the shul a little room, like they have a little teeny kitchen where, like a shtibel here. So they have a little kitchen in the back over here where they have all the supplies. It's the only quiet place in the shul. Outside these little doors over here, it can be chaotic. Most of the time it's pretty quiet, but now it's quiet this time. After we finish, it gets noisy. Before I start, it's pretty noisy as well. You have like a coil in the afternoon. But you know, this place, when I come here Sunday, until they clean up, until they all go off and have a kiddush Shabbos, can't imagine what this little coil over here looks like. This Shabbos, boy, Mickey, this is not built for this. They don't have what they need to operate smoothly here. It's going to be a big mess here. All right, it'll be good. So just, it's amazing over here in this Rashi. Over here, Rashi, this Uchlis over here is playing with all the words. And all the words over here, the word toil, the word areim, and the word v'alun, which do not appear to be the words that we would expect. Let's finish with Rashi very quickly. Rashi here says, there's no Rashi. Would you believe that? Okay, so this one really needs some really deep explanation. Maybe just give a quick look and then on off. Maybe I can see over here in the Ma'atzo, he says something important, which will shed light on this mystery. So this is, what happened over here? Parashas Shalach. Okay, so very quickly, let's see what it says over here. Here we go. So here it says, Tezayin, and Pasuk Tezayin Yud Aleph. What's the right here is Pasuk Tezayin. It says, Toil, Loshon Haroma, Kumi Si'iyas Hanam, Tegum Tolius Ne, Veloi Tegum Arim Yosko, Toch Lefisha, Tegum Kein Mehemshech HaPasim, Veloi Ratsim Bechol, Avon Yeshem, Shaloshon Natal, Kumar, Shul, Loshon Bekicha, Basically, in the Ma'atzari, he acknowledges the difficulty. He acknowledges that there's a problem here, and he doesn't want to give you an answer. He doesn't have anything to say. But he acknowledges that the words that appear to be reversed, and certainly there's something very deep here that's lurking in the background. All right, everybody, so we're going to stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful night. All the best to everyone.
Have
a good night. Be well.
Night.
Mayor, you gave me a whole package of them. Where do you get these scar, man? Where do you get them? Where do you find them?